Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time he was 24 years old, he had heard the story so many times, he could practically tell it himself. Everyone in the area knew some version of it. Deep in the woods, about an hour from town, sat the remains of an abandoned mining community that had long since disappeared from most maps. The buildings were gone, the roads were overgrown, and only a handful of foundations remained hidden among the trees. Despite that, people still talked about the place constantly. Local teenagers dared each other to visit. Paranormal investigators occasionally made the drive out there. Every few years, someone would write an article or post a video claiming to reveal the truth behind the town's haunted reputation. The legend was always the same. According to local folklore, a man had murdered his wife and children before being captured and hanged near the edge of town. His spirit supposedly never left. Strange lights appeared along the road. Voices drifted through the woods. Visitors reported feeling watched. Some claimed to see figures standing where houses once stood. Others swore something followed them back to their vehicles after dark. Whether any of it was true never mattered much to him. Like most people his age, he was interested in the adventure more than the history. The first time he visited the town was during college, when a group of friends decided to see the place for themselves. They brought flashlights, snacks, and enough confidence to convince themselves they weren't nervous. Looking back, he suspected every one of them had been more unsettled than they were willing to admit. The road leading into the woods seemed to stretch on forever. Cell service disappeared several miles before reaching the town, and the farther they drove, the quieter everything became. By the time they parked and started walking, it felt as though they had crossed into a completely different world. The forest swallowed sound in a way he had never experienced before. Even normal conversation seemed oddly muted. The remains of the town were scattered across a surprisingly large area. Stone foundations appeared unexpectedly among the trees. Sections of old road emerged from the undergrowth before disappearing again. Every so often, they would come across a clearing where a building had once stood, leaving behind little evidence that anyone had ever lived there. He remembered feeling disappointed at first. The place didn't feel haunted, it felt abandoned. The longer they explored, however, the harder it became to ignore the atmosphere surrounding the town. None of them experienced anything dramatic that first night. No apparitions appeared. Nobody heard disembodied voices. Nothing chased them through the woods. Yet everyone left with the same impression. The place felt sad. That was the word people kept using during the drive home. It's not scary, not threatening, sad. At the time, he dismissed the feeling as imagination. It was easy to understand why an abandoned town would make people uncomfortable. Standing among the remains of a place where hundreds of people once lived naturally invited thoughts about the past. He didn't think much about it afterward. Then they went back. Over the next 2 years, the town became a regular destination for his group of friends. Sometimes only three or four people made the trip. Other times a dozen would show up. New people joined, others lost interest. Yet the stories continued to accumulate. One friend claimed something grabbed her ankle while sitting in a parked vehicle. Another swore she saw a small handprint appear on the windshield. Phones occasionally behaved strangely. Audio recordings sometimes captured sounds that nobody remembered hearing at the time. The stories varied, but one detail remained consistent. Nobody ever encountered the murderer. That struck him as odd. The entire legend revolved around a violent man who supposedly haunted the town. Yet none of the experiences reflected that. Nobody reported seeing an angry figure in the woods. Nobody described being threatened. The activity seemed disconnected from the story everyone had grown up hearing. The trip that changed everything happened on a cold autumn night. Five of them drove out after sunset and spent several hours exploring the area. The weather had turned damp and a low fog drifted among the trees. By midnight, everyone was tired and ready to head home. As they made their way back toward the vehicles, one of his friends began making jokes about the famous legend. The story had become something of a running joke by then. He loudly challenged the supposed murderer to show himself and mocked the town's reputation. Nobody paid much attention. The woods remained silent, and eventually they climbed into their vehicles and started the long drive back. The strange part didn't happen. In the woods? It happened an hour later, like they often did. After these trips, they began reviewing one of the audio recordings captured throughout the evening. The phone had spent most of the night recording little more than footsteps, conversation, and occasional background noise. Eventually, they reached the section where the joking comments had been made. The sound that followed lasted only a few seconds. Everyone in the vehicle heard it. The voice wasn't loud. It wasn't angry. It didn't sound threatening in any way. In fact, the thing that disturbed him most was how human it sounded. It sounded like someone trying not to cry. The recording captured several shaky breaths and what sounded like a person struggling to hold themselves together emotionally. Then it stopped. The car became completely silent. They listened again, then again. Every time the reaction was the same. The sound wasn't frightening because it sounded supernatural. It was frightening because it sounded real. Over the following weeks, he found himself thinking about that recording far more than he expected. If someone had asked him what a haunted mining town should sound like, crying would have been near the bottom of the list. Nothing about it fit the legend everyone knew. The voice sounded devastated, not violent, heartbroken, not angry. For the first time, he became interested in the town's history rather than its reputation. And the more he looked into the story everyone believed, the more he began to suspect they had all been looking for the wrong ghost. What began as simple curiosity slowly turned into something much harder to explain. At first, he only wanted to verify the story. The crying voice on the recording had bothered him enough that he found himself wondering whether there was something he had missed about the town's history. If the legend was true, there should have been evidence somewhere. Murders, arrests, and executions tended to leave paper trails. There should have been newspaper articles, court records, or at least references in local historical archives. Instead, every source seemed to contradict the last. One version of the story claimed the murders happened in the late 19th century. Another placed them decades later. Some accounts described a wife and several children. Others mentioned only a single victim. Even the name of the supposed killer changed depending on who was telling the story. The more he researched, the less confidence he had that any of it was real. Eventually, he stopped looking for evidence of the murders and started looking for evidence of the town itself. That decision changed everything. Most local legends focus on the dramatic events. People remember disasters, crimes, and tragedies because those stories are easy to pass from one generation to the next. Ordinary life is much easier to forget. Yet as he dug through old records, newspaper clippings, and historical society collections, a completely different picture of the town began to emerge. The mining town hadn't been defined by a murderer. For most of its existence, it had been an ordinary community filled with ordinary people. Old photographs showed baseball teams posing proudly for the camera. Newspaper articles described church fundraisers, school events, and holiday celebrations. Families advertised local businesses. Children competed in spelling contests. Couples announced engagements and weddings. The more he read, the more difficult it became to reconcile the lively town in those records with the silent woods he had been exploring for years. What surprised him most was how many of the stories centered around children. There were photographs of school classes standing outside a modest brick building that no longer existed. Articles described summer picnics, 4th of July gatherings, and community events that drew residents from miles away. Reading through the material felt less like studying history and more like meeting people who had simply vanished. Then he discovered something else. The town hadn't died because of a tragedy. There had been no disaster, no epidemic, and no single event that forced people to leave. The mine gradually became less profitable, jobs disappeared, and families moved elsewhere to find work. Stores closed, businesses shut down, the population slowly shrank until there was no longer enough of a community to sustain itself. The town hadn't been abandoned overnight. It had simply faded away. For some reason, that bothered him far more than the murder story ever had. A few weeks later, he returned to the town by himself. Normally, he preferred exploring with friends, but this trip felt different. He wasn't looking for ghosts. He wasn't hoping to capture evidence. He wanted to see the place again, now that he understood what it had once been. The road felt less intimidating than usual as he drove through the woods. For years, he had viewed the town through the lens of its legend. Every shadow had been connected to the story of the murderer. Every strange sound had been interpreted through that narrative. Now he found himself looking at the landscape differently. The foundations scattered among the trees no longer seemed mysterious. They seemed personal. Every one of them had once been someone's home. As evening approached, he wandered farther into the old town than he had before. Using historical maps he had found during his research, he located the approximate site of the schoolhouse. Nothing remained except a shallow depression in the ground and a few scattered stones hidden beneath years of vegetation. Without the maps, he would have walked right past it. He sat nearby and listened to the woods. The silence felt almost overwhelming. For a while, he simply watched the sunlight fade through the trees and tried to imagine what the place might have looked like when the town was alive. Children would have run across the clearing. Teachers would have called students inside. Parents would have gathered for school functions. The area that now felt completely isolated had once been filled with people. The thought stayed with him as darkness slowly settled over the woods. Then for a brief moment, he heard something. The sound was faint enough that he almost ignored it. At first, he assumed it was carried from somewhere farther down the road. As he listened more carefully, however, he realized he couldn't identify the source. It sounded like laughter, not the laughter of adults, children. The sound drifted across the clearing for only a few seconds before fading away completely. It wasn't loud or dramatic. If anything, it sounded ordinary. Yet that was precisely what made it so unsettling. There was no school, no nearby homes, no obvious explanation for why children would be laughing in the middle of an abandoned town after sunset. He remained where he was for several minutes, waiting to hear it again. Nothing followed. Eventually, he stood and began making his way back toward his vehicle. The rational side of his mind immediately started searching for explanations. Sound could travel in unusual ways through the woods. Animals sometimes produced noises that sounded surprisingly human. There were plenty of possibilities. Yet as he walked back along the trail, he found himself thinking about the recording that had started all of this. The crying voice, the sadness everyone seemed to feel, when visiting the town. The strange laughter he had just heard near the old schoolhouse. For the first time, he began to wonder whether the haunting people experienced there had nothing to do with the story they had all grown up hearing. Maybe the town was haunted. Maybe everyone had simply been listening to the wrong story. The experience at the old schoolhouse should have been enough to convince him to stop looking for answers. Instead, it had the opposite effect. The more he thought about the laughter he heard in the clearing, the more convinced he became that there was a connection between the town's history and the experiences people reported there. For years, visitors had arrived expecting to encounter the spirit of a murderer. Every strange noise, unexplained feeling, and odd experience was immediately filtered through that assumption. Yet nothing he had personally experienced seemed to support that theory. The crying voice on the recording didn't fit. The overwhelming sadness people described didn't fit. The laughter near the schoolhouse certainly didn't fit. Whatever was happening in the town seemed connected to something else entirely. Over the next several months, he continued researching while making occasional trips back to the property. This time, he approached the town differently. Instead of wandering randomly through the woods, he used old maps and photographs to identify specific locations. He visited the former school grounds, the site of the church, the remains of what had once been the town square, and several areas where rows of homes had stood decades earlier. As he compared visitor accounts with the locations he was researching, an interesting pattern began to emerge. Almost every reported experience seemed connected to places where life had happened. People reported hearing voices near the church site. Laughter was frequently associated with the old school grounds. Several visitors described hearing conversations or music near locations where community gatherings had once taken place. The supposed hanging site that featured so prominently in local legend, however, produced almost nothing. Despite being one of the most famous locations connected to the story, it generated very few reports compared to other areas of the town. The realization stayed with him. One afternoon, he visited the local historical society again and asked a question nobody seemed to have considered before. What had happened to the residents after they left? The answer sent him in an entirely new direction. Most families had simply relocated to neighboring communities. Some moved farther away, while others remained in the region for generations. As he followed those records, he began locating descendants of people who had once lived in the mining town. Several families still lived within driving distance of the property, and a handful were willing to share stories that had been passed down through the generations. What surprised him was how often the same theme appeared. The stories weren't about hauntings, so they were about loss. Parents and grandparents spoke about relatives who never wanted to leave. Some families remained until the very end, watching neighbors move away one by one. Others returned regularly after relocating elsewhere. Several descendants described annual visits, reunions, and gatherings held long after the town itself had ceased to exist. For many former residents, leaving had never really felt permanent. They carried the town with them for the rest of their lives. One elderly woman shared a story that stayed with him long afterward. Her father had been among the final residents to leave the community. According to family accounts, he drove away from the town for the last time and eventually pulled his truck to the side of the road several miles away. He sat there for nearly an hour, looking back toward the woods before continuing on. When family members later asked what he had been doing, he reportedly told them he wasn't ready to say goodbye. The statement lingered in his thoughts for weeks. For decades, people had treated the town as a place defined by death and violence. The actual history seemed rooted in something far different. The people who lived there hadn't survived a catastrophe. They had watched their community slowly disappear around them. Businesses closed, neighbors moved away, familiar places sat empty. The town didn't die in a single moment. It faded gradually until there was almost nothing left. Nearly a year after hearing the crying voice on the recording, he decided to make one final visit. The weather was cool and clear, and fallen leaves covered much of the ground. Rather than exploring, he simply walked. He followed old roads and stopped occasionally at places he now recognized from maps and photographs. What had once appeared to be random clearings had become familiar landmarks. He could picture where buildings once stood and imagine the people who had gathered there. As sunset approached, he found himself standing near what had once been the center of town. Nothing remained. The buildings were gone, the businesses had long since disappeared, and the forest had reclaimed much of what had once been a thriving community. To anyone passing through, it looked like little more than another stretch of woods. Yet standing there, he found it impossible to view the place that way. For a few brief moments, the silence around him changed. He didn't see apparitions walking between the trees. He didn't witness shadow figures or anything that would fit neatly into a traditional ghost story. Instead, he became aware of sounds that seemed strangely out of place. They were faint and distant, almost as though they existed on the edge of hearing. He thought he heard children laughing. Somewhere farther away came the sound of a dog barking. Voices drifted in and out, accompanied by what sounded like music carried on a breeze. The sounds lasted only a few seconds before fading away. Then the woods were silent again. He stood there for a long time afterward, listening and wondering whether he had imagined the entire thing. The rational part of his mind immediately began searching for explanations. Sound travels in unusual ways. Memory is unreliable. The imagination is capable of remarkable things, particularly when someone has spent months immersed in history and local legends. Those explanations are certainly possible. What he knows is that the town never felt frightening. It felt sad, lonely perhaps, but never threatening. The more he learned about its history, the more convinced he became that generations of visitors had focused on the wrong story. The legend of the murderer survived because it was dramatic and easy to remember. The real story was quieter and far more human. It was the story of an entire community that slowly disappeared until little remained except foundations hidden beneath the trees. Most visitors still arrive looking for the famous ghost. He suspects they're looking in the wrong direction. After everything he learned, he no longer believes the town is haunted by a murderer who may never have existed. If something remains there, he thinks it belongs to the people who once called the town home. And if the crying voice captured on that recording truly came from someone, perhaps it wasn't the sound of anger or violence at all. Perhaps it was the sound of someone mourning a place they never wanted to leave.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Wow. Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Wow. Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris. Find the one and save big this summer during Haverty's July 4th sale. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
We can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.